Hey there, I wanted to take a brief moment and welcome you to the Focus Point Podcast. If this is one of the first episodes that you're hearing from us, please head over to our website, thepointoffocus.com, where you can find out some more information about who we are, what we're doing. You can also find other podcast episodes and blog posts there as well. That's thepointoffocus.com. I'm so glad that you decided to give one of our episodes a listen. I really hope that you will be blessed and encouraged through what you hear in this episode. I also encourage you to share this episode with your family and your friends. Once again, I just thank you for taking some time and listening to our episode. Now, let's dive in to today's episode. Well, we are continuing on in the book of Philippians. If you have a copy of the Bible, whether it's paper or electronic, I encourage you to get it on open to Philippians chapter 1, and we'll be in verses 21 through 26 today. And I'm just excited to continue this series as we embark on this first chapter, which is just a lot of encouragement from Paul, noting back to some of his life experiences and what the Philippian people know about him, what the church in Philippi may face. So he's just starting off this letter by encouraging them, by knowing that the people are praying for him and he's praying for them, and that they're in his heart and he's in their heart, and this overflowing love and stuff that they have for each other. As we looked back, and a lot of this stuff that Paul references, he's currently in prison as he's writing this letter to them, but they also remember him being in prison when he was in Philippi. He was put in prison in Philippi for casting out a demon from this possessed slave girl that was earning money for her masters. And it got everybody upset with that incident, and so they put him in jail for doing that. And it was in jail that he kept his focus on Jesus. It says that in Acts chapter 16, it says that Paul and Silas were singing praises to God, and that everybody was listening. And that's a big thing to show what Paul was able to do in his moments of trial and circumstances changed, and during the hard times of his life, he was able to point his attention and his focus to Jesus, and that helped other people, right, realize it. And that's where we started the series. We started by looking at that little section in the book of Acts, chapter 16, where he met Lydia, where he met the that slave girl, but it's unknown if she kind of was present there as a member of the church. And then we talked about the jailer who thought he was going to lose his life because Paul had escaped. And it says there that they went to the house, Paul and Silas went to the house of Lydia, they went to the house of the jailer, that everybody was baptized. And that's kind of how the church in Philippi started. And that's why when he writes this letter, he's writing from jail once again, and he's not upset about it, and he's using that, and he's referring back to those experiences that he's had in Philippi. And then last week we talked a little bit about how nothing is wasted, that even though, and that's kind of like what I've just kind of reviewed a little bit, and all these episodes are available on the archive, but what I just reviewed a little bit is kind of Paul saying that no circumstances and nothing that's happened to him has been bad in a way, because the gospel has been furthered. And we see that in Philippians 1:12, where it says, "My dear brothers and sisters, that everything that has happened to me has helped spread the good news." And it's that time when he spent in jail in Philippi, the good news was spread through that. And he referenced it last week, and what he was saying is that even though he's in jail now, it's making people preach more boldly for Christ. It's helping all of that. So he continues on with his letter here, and some things that we're going to look at, three different things that fall into the category that's for Christ, right? That Paul mentions here. And so we're going to read this, and then we're going to kind of unpack it just a little bit as we have in the past. So Philippians chapter 1, verse 20, it says, "For I fully expect and hope that I will never be ashamed, but that I will come to be bold for Christ, that as I have been in the past. And I trust that my life will bring honor to Christ, whether I live or die. For to me, living means living for Christ, and dying is even better. But if I live, I can do more fruitful work for Christ. So I really don't know which is better. I am torn between two desires. I long to go and be with Christ, which would be far better for me. But for your sakes, it is better for me to continue to live. Verse 25, knowing this, I am convinced that I will remain alive so I can continue to help all of you grow and experience the joy of your faith. And when I come to you again, you will have even more reason to take pride in Christ Jesus because of what he is doing through me." So the first one that we see, the first thing we're going to unpack is in verse 20, where he says, "But I will continue to be bold for Christ as I have been in the past, and I will trust that my life will bring honor to Christ, whether I live or die." So basically what he's saying is honor for Christ, right? Our lives should promote Jesus. It's the Jesus way. It's the confidence that we have in Jesus, right? That life is better. We should seek to glorify Jesus even when things are going great and when things are going bad. And saying this, right, to the Philippian people, they must have been confused as they had seen the things that Paul has done in his life. And it would have been easy for them to see how God's glory with being, not only with him being delivered from his problems, but being delivered in the midst of his problems. Paul was showing the Philippians that God is still with him and working through him, despite what was going on. Despite what goes on in our life, that is still being shown Jesus, how we react to those things. And our actions, how we look, are we like doing the Jesus way, right? Are we having these moments where God, where Jesus shows out in our life? That's the challenge that I think Paul is setting forth here to the Philippian people, is even in midst of our problems, are we upset at God? Yeah, we can be. I mean, I'm sure Paul was. I'm pretty sure Paul was frustrated. The humanity of these people sometimes gets lost as we look and we read about them. But when he was in jail in Philippi, I'm pretty sure he was not happy about it, because he was doing the work for Christ, right? He had just led Lydia to Christ. He had just healed that girl from the demon possession. But then he was beaten and thrown in jail. And I'm sure he was upset about that. The Bible doesn't note that. But being human, like, I would say that I did all this work for Christ. I've been doing this work for Christ. I've been leading people, and I get arrested and I'm beaten and thrown in jail and all of that for helping a girl. And it's just how that works, right? But Paul's focus was on Jesus in that moment. And that he can be delivered from his problems, but he can also be delivered in the midst of his problems. And we can too. Even though we may be facing some things, because Jesus says in John 16:33 that in this world we will have trouble. But God is with us in the valleys, right? Jesus is with us in those valleys. So when we have the troubles of life, as it says, and in this world you will have trouble. So in this life you will have trouble. In this space under heaven, you will have trouble. But take heart, because he has overcome the world, right? So God is with us in the valleys. God is with us on the mountaintops, right? And Jesus is saying these words because he overcome all of it. He overcame all of it. I misspoke. So I'm reading my notes here. And it says overcome the world. And anyway, it's neither here nor there. Sorry, I'm distracted. So Jesus is saying that to his disciples who were about to witness his death, his death and crucifixion and all of that, that you will have trouble. But take heart because I've overcome it. And Jesus is saying the same thing to us. And that's what Paul is saying, that even though he's in jail, even though that he's faced all of these things, and he'll face even more things as if you look at Paul's life, you know, he's in and out of jail, he's exiled, all of these different things that happened to Paul, but he knows that God is in control and that nothing is wasted from our life. We talked about that last week. God will use our stories, whatever bits and pieces it has in it, whatever good or bad things that are in it, God will still use that to help somebody, because we never know what experiences that we've faced, that we've been delivered from, if you will, by Jesus, and they can too. And so that puts us in a place where we can be joyful for that, right? And because Jesus has overcome the world, we can overcome our situations and our problems too. It doesn't mean that they don't hurt, and it doesn't mean that they don't suck, I guess would be the word. But Jesus, you know, when he said that to them, he knew full well what he was experiencing, going to experience. And he still did it. He still was there, and nothing was going to be wasted from his life. As a matter of fact, that there was joy that was going to come out on the other side of his life for what he did and what he went through. So Jesus knows, and Paul is trying to explain this to us and the Philippian people. You got to remember that this is God's word, and it was written to us too. And then Paul mentions in verse 21 that he's torn between two desires. It says here in verse 23, sorry, not 21. We're covering 21 through 24, but it says that he's torn between two desires. So Paul's desire for Christ, right? He's torn between two desires, verses 21 and 22, living for Christ, and verses 23 and 24, longing to be with Christ. Paul knew that living for Christ would continue to provide him with the ability to do fruitful work, which when we stay connected to Jesus, as it says in John 15, we can do that work. That's how we do the work of Christ. We're more fruitful when we're connected to him, when we remain in him. So Paul is indicating here that that can be done. And he knew that if he died doing the work of Christ, he would be with Christ. So it's like double the level of joy. He knew that joy was coming because of his work for Christ. As he mentioned In the earlier passage that we looked at last week, he says that people are preaching with like selfish ambition, right? They're preaching just to glorify themselves. But the good news is that Jesus is still being preached, right? Our motives matter when what we do. But Paul knew that it didn't matter what was going on, that God, the gospel was still being preached. And he knows now, as he's explaining this part to the Philippian people and to us, he's saying that even if he dies for Christ, he gets to go be with Christ. Or even if he dies, he gets to be with Christ, or he gets to live for Christ. Both of those things bring him joy. Paul also knew that going to be with Christ would be better, but he knew that his churches that he started, not just Philippi, but the other churches that he had, would need to be helped in this way as well. Paul was encouraging us and the Philippian people to take joy in living for Christ, for doing the things of Christ, the acts of service, the humility, the love, the mercy and the goodness, and all of the fruit of the Spirit that we mentioned a couple weeks ago, that those things should bring us joy, right? He was showing them information. He was writing them information about his life to help them understand that the same exact desires they had in their own life, right? If you're living for Christ, it should bring you joy. But when you know that we've got heaven waiting for us, right? In John chapter 14, Jesus says, you know, he's going to prepare a place for us. We've got that place, and that place is going to be awesome. And that we're also going to be with Jesus, which is awesome. So Paul's writing that to remind them that their work for Christ isn't going to be in vain. That their work for Christ is what Jesus wants from them. And that it should bring them joy for that. And that they long to be with Christ just like him. And we should, and I know we do too. I long to go be with Jesus. But I also know there's still work to be done here. And just like Paul and just like the Philippian people probably thought, this was important for him to put in this letter because we wrestle with those desires. You know, they wanted to go be with Jesus. We want to go be with Jesus, just like any other follower of Jesus. We read the Bible. We know what heaven's going to be like. We talked about it back at the beginning of the year in our In the End series. And we talked about how this place that God has created for us, and we just long to go see it. And this whole thing is that this isn't where we're supposed to be, right? And so Paul was just expressing that desire because he knows that they feel it too, and he knows that because this Bible is God-inspired and that what he was writing down was with God's help, that we were going to experience the same kind of feelings and emotions. So Paul, we know that there's still work to be done, though, just like Paul. So even though that he desired and that if he dies for Christ, then he gets to go. But he knew that the people that he started the churches with and that were helping him needed to have his help still. There was still work to be done. And so with that being said, he kind of concludes this section with verses 25 and 26, where we can take joy in the work for Christ. Paul's joy in doing the work for Christ, no matter what the circumstances he was in, because he knew that people were being reached for Jesus. I remember this whole thing. My church, the founding pastor had a was diagnosed with cancer back in 2019. And in that moment, he was taking not sadness and sorrow and all of that. He was taking joy in that. Joy in the work for Christ. There was still work to be done. There was still people to be reached for Jesus. And even though he couldn't do it in the capacity that he used to do it in, because of all of the treatments and the chemo and all of these things and just the overall toll that just alone takes on your health, he was still a part of certain things in the church. He was still able to find joy in working for Christ. And we can take joy in the same things. He knew that just because he had cancer that this wasn't done, right? Even though he desired to go be with Jesus, his whole life reflected Jesus and helping people meet Jesus and seeing Jesus and meeting people where they were at and all of these things. And even in the midst of cancer, he still was able to do that. He still was not able to like let that keep him down, even though he couldn't do it, just like Paul, right? Paul was in jail. He wasn't able to reach people for Jesus the way that he would have liked to when he was in jail in Philippi, but people still were reached for Christ. And then he mentions in this first chapter of Philippians, in this letter that he's writing to Philippians, the church in Philippi, he's writing this in jail, and he's saying that even though I'm in jail, people are still preaching more boldly for Christ. And I think that's what our founding pastor, the founding pastor of my church, and the church that I didn't grow up in, but the church that I that I was called to go to due to some certain circumstances that happened in the church I grew up in. And then just seeing how he lived and seeing what he had done and all the work that he'd done for Christ and the joy that he took in that, even though he was facing the trials of cancer. So those things are true. But kind of like the big idea that I want to pull out of this is difficult circumstances become more bearable if we keep Christ and his purpose in our focus. Around here on this podcast and then this ministry, we have a simple thing. It's keeping Jesus the focus point. And how do we do that? We just look at what Jesus says, right? We look at what Jesus says and we do that. That is how that is how it works for us. That's how it works for me. That's not easy. I mean, like I've said, Paul was in jail many different times. And we're keeping Jesus the focus point, right? And how we do that is by keeping our eyes on Jesus, by looking up to Jesus. And that's the way that we that's the way that we do that. And it's so important to do that, and it helps us see the different things and how they matter and how they don't matter, kind of thing, and how we view our circumstances when we look at them through the eyes of Jesus. And when Paul did that, he was able to experience joy throughout all of his life. Whether he was in chains or not, whether he was hungry or fed, we'll look at that later. He knew that Jesus gave him strength. And Paul was able to hold both joy and sorrow at the same time because he was sorrowful and always rejoicing, as it says in 2 Corinthians 6:10. He was able to experience both of these things just like we do. Jesus was able to experience joy and sadness at the same time. Because it says in Hebrews that for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. And if that confuses you, come join us for Easter. That's a plug for Easter, because that's kind of what we're going to be looking at, I think. That the joy set before him, he endured the cross. That he kept his eyes on God, right? For Jesus. And he experienced the joy and the sorrow at the same time. But he knew that there was work to be done. He, Jesus, knew that there was work to be done. He knew that our lives were at stake. And Paul knows that there are people's lives are at stake. And that they need to hear the news of Jesus. Whether he's in chains or not. Whether he's living happy or not. Whether he's hungry or fed or all these different things. He knows that Jesus needs to be preached. So Paul knew that difficult circumstances become bearable when we can keep Jesus as focus point. And that filters into a lot of other things. And I know that's hard to think about. That may be hard to see, because when we're experiencing a circumstance, that is our focus. That is our vision, right? That circumstances, that loss of a job, that divorce, that death of a loved one, the new health diagnosis, the constant trouble with health, all of the different things, right? That becomes our focus. But when we look at how Paul handled these different circumstances, and when we look at it through, well, what's Jesus trying to help me with? What are we trying to see? What can we see through with Jesus' help, right? How can we see the joy in these circumstances? It's easy to see it when we come out of it, right? When we look back at it, it's like, oh yeah, we can see how that worked out and it was okay and all of these different things. But when we are in it, it's so much harder to see those things. That's why I don't exclude Paul's emotions on being in jail. especially right after he delivered somebody from a demon and just led Lydia and her household to Christ, we see Paul get put in jail. We know that had to affect him. He was human. So when I look at all of this, and as we kind of bring in this episode to a close, it's how we look at these things, and not just these things, how we interact with other people, right? We've talked about that in this series already a little bit, when we, the overflowing love, right? And when we're in Christ, the fruit of the Spirit that come with it, those fruits that are in Christ that we have access to by being ourselves in Christ and attached to the vine, like it says in John chapter 15. We can experience those things, and then we can also give those things, because those are one of the best ways to show people Jesus. As a matter of fact, the fruit of the Spirit starts with love. And Jesus says that love is the way that we show we follow Jesus, that we are Jesus' disciples. And so when we keep our focus on Jesus and how he would handle these things and how he would do that, we can then really embark on a journey of like a full life, right? And we're actually going to do a series. I'm not exactly sure when, but a series on this idea of looking through the eyes of Jesus. It'll be at the end of this Philippians series, but God just laid that on my heart, and I'm not exactly sure where that's going to fall in, but I'm excited for it already. And so be looking for that. I don't know if it'll be in the fall or if we'll do it immediately after this series, but the Jesus way is important. And the Jesus way and keeping our focus on Jesus will settle a lot of the things that we have, a lot of the issues that we have, right? Oh, well, that person doesn't deserve that, or they keep doing the same stupid thing over and over and over again. But that's not the way Jesus, his disciples kept doing some stupid things over and over again, but he kept coming along beside them and showing them love and kindness and mercy and all of these things and patience. Oh, patience. So, as we wrap this up, keeping Jesus the focus, right, is what Paul did. And that's how he was able to look at a lot of these things with joy, knowing that the main focus was that no matter what, he was going to be with Jesus. Whether he was here on earth doing the work of Jesus and being in that relationship with Jesus, or whether he was going to die and go be with Jesus. The same joy can come for us when we help each other, when we love each other, when we look toward Jesus in our circumstances. It's amazing what can happen. I want to share the story. I just thought about it. When I went through my divorce, and it was just kind of like one of those things. It's like ripping this cord in the middle, right? This person that you were with. And when it just gets ripped away, it's painful. But I think that's where I started. It's like, okay, what about this? How are we going to do it? And I was in and out of rough places, because it meant different things for my kids. It meant different things for this. It meant different, all of these different things, right, that come kind of flooding in. But when you stop and think about it, it's like, The joy that's there a little bit, because through Christ, like, that was a valley and Jesus was there with me and he got me through it. And I've been able to use that to help other people. I was able to find some other people and get some seasonal relationships with other people that were also experiencing the same kind of thing almost in that exact moment. Only Jesus can do that, right? And then this past weekend going forward, knowing that I'm a blended family right now, that I'm remarried and all of this stuff like that. My wife and I went on a marriage retreat, and three of the couple, myself and two other couples that were there, are in a blended kind of family situation. Only God can do that, guys. Goodness. I can shout that from the mountain. Like, praise God for that. Right? But in the midst of all of these things, that there are people that do understand. That's why God can use your story. It's amazing. Like, I've got goosebumps. My heart's racing as I'm talking about that. I can't believe how good God is. Right? And so, I want to leave you with that. That our focus matters. That there's joy, no matter what the circumstances is. That people can be reached for Jesus in spite of anything. Sometimes that gets lost. And God can't use me. God can't use this situation. God's just putting me through all of this drama just because. But you know what? God will use it. There's somebody out there that needs to hear your story. There's somebody out there that is dealing with the same exact circumstances that Jesus brought you through. And they're waiting for somebody to help. There's somebody out there for everybody to help. Sometimes a certain pastor doesn't connect with somebody, but another pastor will. Sometimes, you know, I used the illustration last week. Sometimes other parents will get through to your kids, right? I've seen that so many times in my life with my kids, right? It's like they come home and they say, oh, well, I talked to so-and-so, and it's like, that's exactly what I've been saying, right? We've got a small group of friends, and each set, we got a couple other couples, and they each have two kids, and my wife and I together have four kids, and, you know, they'll be sitting around, and something will come up, right? And they'll ask a question, and the other parents there, whatever one it is, right? The other couples will go, oh, blah, 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 right? And it's exactly what we said, and the kid will be like, oh, yeah. And it's just so funny, but it's true. Some people needed to hear Paul's voice. Some people needed to hear Silas's voice, Timothy's voice. Some people need to hear the members of the church will help. It's amazing. And I'm rambling, but it's because it's so rich. I get so excited about this, that there are places for us, even in this jumbled mess of life and the circumstances and all of this. We can see that by Paul being in jail and all the jail basically coming to know Jesus because of what he chose to focus on. So I encourage you with that. Find ways to focus on Jesus in our circumstances. Kind of put that on. I talked about that last year when we went through the first six books of the Old Testament throughout last year, the Journey to the Promised Land series. When you put on a lens, right? We put on a word of journey, but also faith, right? Last year. And when you put that on, you can see things when you focus that way, right? So when you put on the Jesus lens and you can see your circumstances through him, it may help. You may see things that are different. When you put on that kind of lens and you read the Bible, you'll see things that you never saw before. So I encourage you, lean into Jesus through your circumstances. Go back and listen to a couple of these other episodes. Go back and read some of the rest of the Philippians chapter 1. And just let Jesus be there with you. Experience Jesus. Focus on Jesus in your circumstances. And I'm sure you'll find some joy. So I hope to see you next week as we continue on in this I've Got the Joy series.